the first one way of talking about this is in terms of religion and in terms of the interaction between these three religions, Islam, Judaism, Christianity.
Yes.
But another way of thinking about the kinds of things I'm increasingly kind of motivated by, it's still, I mean, religion is only one example, and I'm trying to get also to your topic today.
Yes.
It's only one example of the kinds of habits of thought or ready-made or key or critical concepts that we bring to the world, that we inherit from the world, and that we then kind of make use of in the world. And I think I'm very interested in seeing what's the space for play and within those kinds of inherited concepts. Mm-hmm. What's the space of oppression? That is, how much do those concepts, nolens volens, willy-nilly affect how we can make sense of the world, how we can perceive the world around us and others in the world.
Mm-hmm.
So when it's about religion, if you make me think about Communities of Violence, that first book, very much about how religious classifications affect life, but also about what's the space for creativity within those classifications, and what's the space of structure that those classifications impose or constrain us with.
Yes.
And then looking forward, I think something like anti-Judaism or aesthetic theologies are very much projects about how very basic ways of thinking about the world and about transcendence, so not only about the world as we see it, but as the world as we imagine it or think it, come to structure how we can make sense of the world. So in anti-Judaism, it's about Jewish, it's about the category of Judaism as something that we need to overcome in order to make our way to the transcendent truth, and how that then, the importance of that problem through Christianity, through Islam, through Marxism, through many systems of thought becomes something that is very hard for us even to perceive as constraining our thought or structuring our thought or channeling our thought. Aesthetic theology was the same thing. And now I think I'm working on something similar that has to do with how we look for where we think certainty resides. So, I mean, religion is, of course, one area in which we look for eternity, for immortality, or for some foundation, right? But there are many other spaces of thought that seem to which we turn for whatever certainty we think we can find or we think we crave. And one of those is number, is kind of mathematical. Axiomatic sameness. So of all things, it's true, for example, I mean, we want to convince ourselves it's true that 2 + 2 = 4. Everything else might be in doubt, but this, and then how do these resources we have with which to impose a certain amount of stability or sameness or certainty, identity on the world and on ourselves. It's not an accident that identity means something in mathematics, in logic, and also in psychology. How do we use those in ways that we're not even aware of? How do they constrain how we think about, how we apply them to other forms of life? How does our confidence, for example, in mathematics affect how we imagine social life or how we imagine political life? These are areas where I think very often we become blind. Nietzsche was very good at pointing this out all the time, how things we hold to be most axiomatic are often the things we are that are least proven, but they become for us absolutely axiomatic as forms of thought, and that's where I think the question of academic freedom or freedom of thought, period, really enters into the equation.